Well, church, I'm just going to share with you this morning that the enemy was really trying to get me today to focus on what I don't have. He's really trying to direct my heart to look and think about all the things that are missing or are difficult or that we're struggling with. And God is so good. God is so good because just through everything that is said and done and prayed and sung and the faith that you have, God has reminded my heart that it's what we have, what He has given us, His blessings and His love. And that's why we're here. Not to think about what we don't have, but to thank Him for what we do have. And I've got to tell you today, I know that today, for a lot of us, there's pain in the offering. And I know for a lot of us, there are struggles and unsaid and unshared suffering. I would love to hug every single one of you today. And I know that's, yeah. Yeah. If you need a hug today, I will be available to anyone who wants to take me up on that offer. Yeah. So after services, if you need a hug or you just want to give a hug, because I feel like I could hug every single one of you, and just, I am so thankful to God for your faith. I am thankful to God that you are holding on, that you are not letting go, that you are doing what is right, that you are doing what is faithful, and that you are here. You know I love the Lord, but I love you too. I love you too. So I will avail myself with open arms for anyone that wants or needs a hug this morning. I would love to give you one. So let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get in the Word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all that we have, because all that we have is in you, and all that we enjoy is from you and through you. Father, we praise your name. We praise your name because your name is above every name. Your name is above all of us. Your name is greater than all of our struggles and our issues and our problems. God, you are the one deserving of praise. And we thank you for drawing us together, for giving us faith, for sending your Son to save us from our sins, for letting us be one with you. Father, we praise your name. And as we look this morning at Jesus, I pray, Father, that you open our hearts to walk in your light. I pray, Father, that you keep our hearts open to fellowship with you. Father, thanksgiving flows from us because glory has flown from you. We pray through Jesus. Amen. All right, for those of you new to the class, for those of you visiting, we've been taking a look at Jesus Christ himself and trying to figure out what the Bible says about him, who he is, and really his relationship with God the Father. And we have seen for several weeks, we have seen the stress that Jesus put upon being the Son of God and what that means and what it looks like and what that carries with it. And then last week, we started to go back through John's Gospel to take a look at the I am statements that Jesus makes and the connection that he is letting people know of how connected he is with the creator of all things. Of course, I am being the name that God reveals to Moses in the burning bush. And then in John's gospel, Jesus uses this same statement, this same title and this same name or identifier, if you will, to describe who he is and how he is connected with the Father. So we come to the second one today, and Jesus in John chapter 8 says to everyone around him, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And so we're going to take a look at this today, and we're going to tie it back in, connect it with what light exactly means. So first we're going to look at light itself, and then we're going to see what Jesus is saying about himself by claiming such a thing. So, light. Light of the world. We go all the way back. All the way back. Quiz for the gifted kids. What is the very first recorded words in the Bible that God says? Let there be light. It is the first spoken words that we have in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Let there be light. It's where he begins everything. It is his spoken word. It is uttered out of his own mouth. And as he makes everything and as he is going through the 6 days of forming it all together and from nothing, just putting together and building all that we see and know and experience, he says, let there be light. He starts with light. And then, of course, he would carry on that day and he separated light from darkness. He says, the light, we'll call it day. The darkness, we'll call it night. And he says, this is good. This is good. In Psalm 56, I'd like us to take a look at this one, and I'm going to read a couple verses out of here. In Psalm 56, we see the power of God's light. I'll go over there real quick. Psalm 56. Because light belonging to God reveals so much of his nature, and this psalm just shows how much his nature as light can be trusted. Psalm 56, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape? In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will tender thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. So God brings light to his creation. And then the psalmist cries out and says, look, the whole world is against me right now. But here's what I know, that you are God. And I will praise your name, and I will trust you in every situation that I have to find myself in. You are God. You will not let me down. You will not allow me to be defeated. You know what I'm going through. It's written in your book, the tears that I cry out to you, they are collected by you. And so he says, so what should I do? He says, I'll perform And I will live my vow, my promise to be faithful to you, my promise to trust you in difficult times. So the psalmist cries out to God and says, I know you are bigger than everything going on right here, right now. I know your power and your authority and your ability and your love and your willingness to shine your light. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk in your light. I am not going to give in to the enemy. I'm going to walk close to you. And so we see from Scripture, and there's so much more. I just had time today for a few to really look at. But we see that light being the presence of God, light being part of God's nature to show us how to live, to guide and direct our steps so that we're not fumbling about. You and I are not living with God just going, oh, well, I wonder what's important to God, or I wonder what matters to God, or I wonder if God is even there. No. You and I don't live our lives like that. You and I walk in His light. We stay faithful to Him, and what is in front of us is clear. John chapter 1, in John chapter 1, John comes out and he is given an introduction to Jesus. And in John chapter 1 verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. John shows up to say, here it is. Here is God's light. Here is the light of the world. Yeah, you remember Genesis 1:3? Exactly. That's what John is doing. He is saying, this is it. God's light is now shining in His creation. Verse 8, He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So here in John chapter 1, John's gospel is setting up the idea, and you know how John's gospel begins, that it goes way beyond Jesus' physical birth into creation to say Jesus is the light of God. The very first thing that God speaks about in Genesis chapter 1, that is Jesus Christ, His Son. And so now we're going to come to John chapter 8. This is where our text is. In John chapter 8, Jesus Himself says, I am the light of the world. Now, He says this in John chapter 8, verse 12. Very interestingly, this statement comes right after the story in the beginning of John chapter 8 of the woman that was caught in adultery. And so, Jesus is dealing with a woman who is caught in sin. And you know the story. She is brought out, and some people are trying to test Jesus, and they say, hey, We caught this woman in the very act. She was doing something horrible. How should we handle this? Because, you know, God's word said we should throw rocks at her. She deserves to die for this horrible sin. And you remember how Jesus handled that, right? He said, fantastic. Whichever one of you has not sinned, you're the first to go. We know how that story turns out, because in the end, when they all were honest with themselves and looked at their own lives and realized they were not qualified to pronounce and fulfill such a judgment, they all left. And Jesus looks at her and says, well, where are they? She said, well, they're not here anymore. And Jesus says, I don't condemn you either. And then He says, sin no more. The full message of Jesus, I do not condemn you. Cut it out. In a nutshell. And that brings us to verse 12. So again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, Well, you're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony isn't true. And Jesus said, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true because I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. You don't know where I come from. You don't know where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I'm the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. And they said to him, therefore, well, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I'm going away. You will seek me and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, well, is he going to kill himself? Because he said, where I am going, you cannot come. And he said to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said, well, same story I've been telling you from the very beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world that I have heard from him. Now, they did not understand that he'd been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And as he was saying these things, many believed in him. All right, for those paying attention, which word in your Bible did I leave out twice? Ah, not in the Greek. This I am is in John chapter 8, total of four times. Ego eimi, I am. So somewhere along the way, someone threw in the, they tried to sneak in the he's. It's not in the original language, okay? I am the light of the world. I am, and then later in the chapter we will see he ties himself back to that creation. Oh yeah, Abraham, you know, that you love to hold on to. Well, before Abraham, I am. Okay? So, interesting and kind of a important theological note there. I am the light of the world. So, Jesus again uses this description. He uses this in all these I am statements that he is making throughout John's gospel. They are metaphors. You know the difference between metaphors and similes. If not, ask your mom after services. He says, I am. And then he says, you have got to believe. You have got to believe. He says, I come from the Father. You don't come from the Father. You're from down here. You are a part of creation. Jesus says, I am before creation. And again, that's why this word, this title of God and this claim of Jesus is so important, being I am, ego eimi. It is because there is no beginning, there is no end. He is before, he is during, he is after, he is all. And so as God introduces himself to Moses in this way, because we looked at this last week, Moses said, well, what should I tell him your name is? And I mean, what else is God going to say? I am. He exists, he's real, he always has been, he always will be, he's above all things, he's it. He's it. And so now Jesus is saying, he's it. If we believe that Jesus is I am, the natural response is that we too will walk in the light. God has brought light into his creation. God has given us his Son as the light of the world. And the light helps us walk. It shows us where to go, right? You ever woken up in the middle of the night, tried to make your way down the hall? Who put that wall there? Yeah. Why? Because I didn't want to turn on the light. I didn't want to disturb everybody else. I'm very thankful for my wife. She installed a helper for us this week. She put a nightlight in our bathroom. You know how some things you just, they're just introduced to you and you're like, huh, never really knew that I needed that, but I'm thankful it's there. I need the light because sometimes I wake up, it's the middle of the night, right? I need to walk down the hall. Now there's a light there so I can see where I'm going. So I'm not bumping into things. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am what allows everyone who believes in me to walk and to live in such a way that we are pleasing to God, that we are in the very presence of God. And in fact, what Tony read for us from John chapter 17, that we are connected with God, that we are one with Him, that we are so close to Him that there is no separation. And this is why Jesus would say to those who are giving Him a hard time, and those who don't believe His message, they don't believe that He comes from anywhere else. They're just trying to figure out who He is. And Jesus says, well, I'm from Him. I'm from the Father. I'm from above. I have come down here to do the Father's will and to bring the Father's light to all who will believe. Now, you and I find ourselves in an interesting situation because we're walking in light, and yet we live and we work and we deal with people who are in darkness all the time, right? And we wonder and we look around and we go, how can they possibly be stumbling over that same thing over and over and over? Or how can they be dealing with this or dealing with that? And how do they not see? And Jesus says, God has given His light to the world, but you have got to believe. This metaphor that Jesus uses in John chapter 8 shows us how to live, not to walk in sin and darkness. And it, again, this metaphor right here in John chapter 8 is very interesting because He just dealt in a merciful way with the woman who was caught in sin. And now we're going to pick it up in verse 31 because He is going on the other side of this little sandwich. He is going to show us the danger of remaining in sin, ignoring the light, right? The light shines, shows you where to go. Shows you how to live, and if we just go, no thanks, and we just shield ourselves from it, I prefer the darkness. I prefer my sin. I prefer not to walk in the path that God has set out for me. I think I'm just going to go my own way. Well, Jesus shows everybody what that looks like. In verse 31, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered Him, we're offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. All right, so Jesus says to him, look, you're holding on to Abraham, and you're just thinking that, well, you know, we are God's people because we come from a specific bloodline. And Jesus says, yeah, but you're trying to kill the very one that God has sent to you. He says, you need to understand something. In church, we have got to understand something. Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Practices. This Greek word, those who practice sin, this is those who do, make, continue in sin. Those who continue in their sins. That's who He's talking about. Okay? Those who continue in their sins. Those who practice sin are slaves to sin. And Jesus has come to set us free from that slavery. And He also promises that when we believe in Him, being set free from our sins, that we are truly free. It's the only freedom that matters. It is the only freedom that matters. There is not an Emancipation Proclamation anywhere else that will free anyone else from anything else better than what Jesus sets us free from. Now, if you have ever been a slave to sin, if you have ever been trapped by its nasty grip, you know what good news that is, right? Yeah, and we should all be nodding our heads. Yeah, I know. I know how awful that is. I know how awful it is being a slave to something, to not be able to control things. And Jesus has come to set us free from our sins, set us free from the daily ramifications of walking in it, and also set us free from the final consequences of walking in it. Because sin only leads away from God. That's not the light. That's darkness. And so Jesus says, I have come as light to set you free and to give you life. And then he says, verse 35, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. Because again, we want to look around and go, well, Lord, I'm walking in your light. I'm doing the right thing. But then I see so many who are walking in darkness and they're doing just fine. And Jesus says, well, not forever. They're not. They may get away with it for a little while, or they may avoid consequences for the time being, but that's not going to last. See, those who are the children of God, those who walk in light, remain in His house forever. Those who are enslaved, who remain in the darkness, they may get away with it, but they are going to be booted at some point. They're going to be kicked out. There's no place for them in God's house, which is why you and I don't play with this whole light and darkness thing, with righteousness and sin. We don't say, oh, well, you know, it's just not a big deal. It's fine, whatever. Mm-mm. No, you can't stay. 1 John chapter 1. before we turn over there. You can underline it. Because again, there's a... We'd be here for a while if I finished up John chapter 8. But I do want you to see. Remember they claimed to be offspring of Abraham? And he says, yeah, but Abraham's not really your father because you're not being faithful to God. Because Abraham was faithful to God, right? And you remember that that claim that he made to them? He says, well, you're really acting like your father who is the devil. You remember all that? If not, you can see me this afternoon or read the rest of John chapter 8. So Jesus says in verse 39, look, if you were Abraham's children, then you would be doing what Abraham did. What did Abraham do? He had faith in God. He trusted God no matter what. He believed what God says. In verse 40, now you seek to kill me, and all I have done is told you the truth that God has given me. And you want to kill me. That's not what Abraham did. So you can't really claim to be Abraham's children if you are not being faithful like Abraham was. Then he just flat out tells them, yeah, God's not your father, the enemy is your father. But at the very end of the chapter, and they just keep on saying, Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. In 53, they said, are you greater than our father Abraham? Abraham died. He was our father. He started all of this being God's people. He is our father in spirit. He's dead. Are you somehow saying that you're greater than him? Look at verse 58. Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So four times in the chapter, I am the light of the world. I am before Abraham, I am. It's starting to become very clear who Jesus is claiming to be, right? It is starting to become very clear that all of his talk of being the Son of God and sharing God's glory and authority, and now he just comes out and he just says, I am taking the same title or same name that God gave to Moses and what he has given to his people. He is claiming the same thing. So before Abraham was, I am. All right, now let's take a look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Mark already read it for us. I just want to highlight a few things, and then we'll wrap it up. 1 John chapter 1. Now, John, in this letter to the church, he does, you know, is he just does a masterful job of making a very deep and astounding argument, but he does it so simply. Verse 1, take a look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, we have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. So John starts out and says, hey, you remember? And this is after Jesus died, buried, and went back to the Father. And now John's saying to the church, hey, do you remember Jesus? You know, the one that we heard him speak, we touched him with our hands, we all know him. He is from the very beginning. Now, he was in the flesh for a little while we got to enjoy his presence, but this is Jesus who comes from before creation. So Jesus is with the Father from the very beginning. Verse 2, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life. We proclaim the eternal life. John is saying Jesus Christ is the eternal life that God gives and was made manifest to us. And then in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. So again, he is going back and he's really following what John's gospel follows through in a very concise amount of pages or verses or words. And he is telling the whole story of this is God reaching out to us through his Son. And verse 5, this is the message. This is it. God is light. God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. And if we are going to claim to believe God, if we are going to claim to put our faith in Jesus Christ, then we cannot walk in darkness either. In fact, he went so far to say in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, what are we? We're liars. God is light. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But I'm just going to live over here in the dark. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to continue to do things that do not glorify God. I'm going to continue to sin. I'm going to just never step out of those sinful things that I want to do. John says, liar. No one can have fellowship with the light and still play in the dark. You're only fooling yourself. You're not fooling God. You think God's going to be fooled by that? You think you and I are going to be say, oh, we are saved. We are Christians. We are washed in the blood. But we are going to live like heathens until Jesus comes back. And so we can say, hey, Jesus, remember me? I said some words. I'm baptized. We're all good here, right? Let me in. Again, Jesus covered this. Remember the story? He's separating sheep and goats. And the sheep, he says, hey, you guys did believe me. You walked in the light. You did the right thing. Come on. And the goats, he said, no room. And they said, what? Church, we say all these things out loud so none of us on that day will have to hear the words from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I don't know you. I don't know you. You weren't walking in my light. Oh, you claimed a couple beautiful things, but you were walking in darkness. You were stumbling around. You were doing this. This is how you lived your life. You were just doing this. If we claim, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. It's a lie. Don't be a liar. Now, the good news Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, He is faithful. And if we confess our sins, guess what He does? He forgives us. This is what He called us to do. What did He do? It was chapter 8, verse 11, back in John's gospel. But what does He tell the woman who was caught in sin? I don't judge you either, lady. I'm not here to judge. Sin no more. That's the message. That was John's message. That was Jesus' message. Repent from your sins. You're all in darkness. God is light. He is calling you to light. Well, how do we get to the light? Do we do some good things? Do we say some good things? And He says, repent. Turn your heart around. You're going your own way. And to repent means to turn back. Get back to where God is. Because so many of, humanity, so many of us just say, hey, slap God's name on it and do whatever you want. You'll be good. Do you think that's practicing truth? When God has revealed His truth to us, we can't just say, well, I'm going to do anything. I'm going to say, well, you know, God told me so. Or, you know, it must be from God because that's how I'm feeling about it. Uh-uh. We have to walk in God's truth. We don't get to decide truth. We do not get to decide truth. We do not have that authority. And if we think that we're going to live by something that is not God's truth, we are going to be very sad when we meet the author of life and the one who provides truth. And we're going to make our case. Well, you know, I thought. You know what the Bible says about your thoughts, right? If you don't, look it up this afternoon. They're not great. They're not reliable. Anyone ever change their mind? Anybody in here ever change their mind? Thank you. Anyone ever come to new and better understanding? The act of learning itself is a confession that I was ignorant about something or misguided, and now I have better understanding. All education is an act of repentance. Learning truth is an act of repentance. Because to learn the truth, you have to turn away from something that was not true. To be educated on any subject means that you are putting aside the false things that you once held on to, and now I've come to the truth. It's all repentance. And so you and I aren't going to be able to get up to face on judgment day, you and I are not going to be able to look Jesus in the eye and say, oh, well, I thought, so you must play by those rules. What I think can't be trusted because I've changed my mind. I got to trust the one who's always been, who's never changed. I got to put my faith in one who is greater than me, who is greater than Abraham, who is greater than God's original family, who is greater than what is in creation. We have to go back before creation. Jesus is the light of the world. And He is faithful. He is faithful. So, He says if we confess our sins, He is good to forgive. That's the great thing about knowing the light of God. He calls us to repentance. And He says, well, if you and I are going to sit down here and say, I got no problems, I got no sin, I don't do anything wrong. He said, well, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. That's not going to work. But if we confess our sins, if we turn back to God, if we say, you know what? I realize my time in the darkness and I'm done. I want to be in the light. I confess, God, I am sorry for going against your ways. Guess what He does? Forgiveness. That's the beauty of the light, is that when we come to the light, all the darkness within us is exposed. And if we are true to the light, then we don't want that darkness hanging around. It's not good. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help us. It doesn't help anyone around us. It leads to death. Let's not play with death. Let's walk in the light. So, this morning, we're going to offer the invitation. And if anyone does need to turn back, if anyone does need the prayers of the body, now's your time. And if anyone is not a Christian and you need to give God all that you have and all that you have done and to receive His mercy and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, we invite you to come.